We have made it our ambition this summer to memorize the Ten Commandments on demand. And everybody just got nervous. I'm not going to quiz you. But I will do a quick review, and I mean a rapid review. I'm not even going to have you repeat. You can just follow along. But if you're new, here's a way to memorize all 10 of the commandments in like 30 seconds or so or longer. The first one is that you hold your first finger up and you say, God is number one. As I say multiple times through this, oh, you can say it. God is number one. That's not the commandment, though. The commandment is, you shall have no other gods before me. But God's number one. That's how you remember that. Number two is scissors, where you say, cut out idols. And that is, you shall not have or make a graven image, right? No idols. Number three is a W, watch your words, which is how we remember to honor the Lord's name and keep it holy, right? Combining the two commandments there. Honor, do not take the Lord's name in vain is the commandment. I blew my own assignment. That's not good. Number four is a stretch. Four people in a 4x4 are going to church on Sunday because we honor the Sabbath and keep it holy. And today we're going to be at number five. You give a big old fat salute for mom and dad because it is honor your father and mother. In a perfect universe, this sermon would have happened last Sunday at Father's Day, but we missed it by a week. Just how it works. Number six, that's fun because you get to do sound effects. Thou shalt not kill, though, even though you demonstrate knocking somebody over. Number seven is seven people at a party to sneak away and commit adultery, but the commandment is to not commit adultery. We don't want, no, this is a no, not a yes. Number three is also a little bit of a stretch, but it's kind of a fun one. If you steal something in the Middle East, they cut off your hand. If you steal a grape at the grocery store, they cut off your pinky and you plug the hole. That's number eight. In other words, again, the commandment is to not steal because you don't want your pinky cut off. Number nine, if you lie, your pinky grows back like Pinocchio. But the commandment again is thou shalt not lie. All right? And then number 10, if you took both hands and went after the one thing that you wanted somebody else has, that would be coveting. But the commandment again is, thou shalt not covet. See, you just memorized them. Now I could call on you on the spot. If I said, what is number five? You would know that today is honor your father and mother so that it may be well with you in the earth. We're going to get that in just a second. So yes, in a perfect world, we would have done this last week on Father's Day, but we honored Pentecost Sunday and it threw us off by a week. So there you go. A number of years ago, and I mean a number of years ago because I was in high school, a number of years ago, I was, I had my first car, some of you will be jealous about this, some of you will be like, well, that's old. My first car was a Candy Apple Red 1966 Mustang. And all the car aficionados went, yay. White stripes on the door, Alpine stereo system, 289 V8 engine. That I know will do 110, that's a whole nother story. But it was my first car, so at 15, this is back in the day when Mississippi gave you your full driver's license on your 15th birthday, and all the teenagers went, that's not fair. No permit system, 14 years old, 364 days, you can't touch a car. 15 years old, full license to go anywhere you want. It's like somehow that one day made you magically able to drive or something. You took driver's ed in eighth grade, basically. The final exam was the written exam for the state, and then you went on your 15th birthday to take the driving test. They took your picture and gave you an unregulated license. Go for it. Things have changed a little bit. Now it's like 16 and a year permit or whatever all the things are. But I got a car a month after I turned 15, a car that had a lot of power that I took full advantage of. And of course, as you know this, this is very true back in the day. By the way, no cell phones, no internet. So a car was like having the latest iPhone. It was a much bigger deal because you couldn't just go come over. You had to like go find people in the car. In fact, Friday night was ride around in your car and find people. there were actual patterns in Jackson where you did like a figure eight between this restaurant and that restaurant looking for your friends to hang out. That's a step up from where the bicycles were piled in front of somebody's house. You know what I mean? Because that was middle school. Where the bikes were, that's where everybody was. Anyway, so social life was built around a car or having a car. So since I had a car, I had a social life. That's how it worked. Now, social life also meant that at 15, all of a sudden, the day before, your parents knew where you were all the time. The next day, they had no idea where you were. Am I right? Like, as soon as you have a car, it's like, I have a license to disobey my parents. Or keep stuff from them. They have no clue, because I can get away and go do stuff. In fact, my parents tried to ground me one time from driving about a month into this whole process until they realized they were spoiled by me going to the grocery store for them, and it didn't last a week. Because they were like, Charlie has a car. We can send him. Oh, we can't. He's grounded. Oh, send him to the store anyway. It just didn't last. So my parents and I used to have runarounds about curfew and about who I hung out with, you know, like other parents ever, nobody ever has encountered before. And on this particular occasion, me and a group of friends had decided we were spending the night at my friend's house. Can't even remember his name now. It was 1986, okay? My friend's house. And that's what we told our parents we would be all night. Y'all know how this works. We told mom and dad, hey, we'll be over here watching some movies, you know, on VHS. And be kind, rewind. We were over here, but that's not where we went. Nobody's ever done that, right? Told mom and dad, hey, I'm doing this, but I'm doing this. So instead of chilling with VHS, instead of chilling with Netflix, instead of chilling with VHS, we were at a party on the other side of town. Now, this is Mississippi, so you can get, if you know your geography, my friends lived in Pearl. So we were supposed to be staying in Pearl, but we were actually at a party in Northeast Jackson. So a good 25 minutes apart. We're supposed to be here, but we were here. We finally got ready to leave said party and actually go to where we were supposed to go. And so we're going from Northeast Jackson to Pearl, which means Lakeland Drive in the Mustang, right? This was 30 years ago, so, you know, I don't think it was as wide as it is now, although the Pearl River Bridge is still, you know, a narrow little option. I'm cruising at about 75 in my Mustang on a Friday night, headed back to where we're supposed to be, where we told our parents that we were, and I look up and the car in front of me is doing 35. Now, you do the physics. I'm doing 75, the car in front of me is doing 35. Wouldn't have been a big deal, except we were on the Pearl River Bridge. So my choices were the Pearl River. I looked to my left to try to go around them because it was two lane. There's a car, of course, right next to me. No option, right? So Pearl River, smash this car, try to stop in time. Those are my options because 75 and 35 doesn't really work. So I slammed on the brakes. Not power brakes. It's a 1966 Mustang, you know, with lap belts. Sophisticated stuff. Did not stop in time. Bang! The rear end of a 1978 Delta 88. Now, if you know Mustangs, you know it had no chance against a 1978 Delta 88. That's a tank without tracks. Big metal car. Massive metal car. You know how I know how big it was? 10 kids in the back seat of this car. I'm not exaggerating. That was the police report. 10. By the way, no seatbelt law. As evidenced by a lap belt and all that craziness. 10 kids in the back of the car. So when I tap the back of their car, they're all like looking at me like, why did you hit us? And my car careened. You know what I mean? So I'm like, great. Because now there's the inevitable phone call to dad. Because I've smashed the car on the Lakeland Drive Bridge when I was already supposed to be in Pearl. Are you with me? Dad has to come get me. The Mustang's all messed up. I did like $400 worth of damage to their trunk. It's a 1978 Delta 88. I'm sitting in the car. I'm listening to him take the report from the lady. No driver's license ever. 10 kids. I'm like, who's at fault here? She's not even supposed to be on the road. Like, I'm pleading my case. Like, I shouldn't have had to hit her. She wasn't even supposed to be there. She's going 35 and a 55. Oh, yeah, I was going 75 and a 55. But, you know. Neither one of us were doing the speed limit. That was part of the problem. Anyway, so instead of listening to mom and dad and honoring them by obedience, we went where we weren't supposed to, and they never would have known if I hadn't been doing like 40 miles an hour faster than this other car. Smash, bang, $1,100 worth of damage to the Mustang, $400 worth of damage to a steel trunk. Grounded from the people in the car for quite some time. In fact, my dad, I had 3 wrecks that year. That's the first of one, you know, because it was a lot of car. But it would not have happened had I honored my father and mother. That whole story, that whole scenario would not have been busted, would not have been grounded, except I said, hey, I'm going to do this, But I did this, which none of us have ever done, because we all perfectly obey our parents. I am so sure of that. So Exodus 20:12 says the command is this. I read it, I kind of paraphrased it when I was teaching you how to memorize them. I'm going to read the actual command. This is Exodus 20, verse 12. Honor your father and your mother, so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Maybe Moses knew that I would last a lot longer if I'd honor mom and dad and stop having wrecks. So that your days may be long in the land if you honor your parents. Honor your mother and father. This is one of those harder commands, right? In fact, if you keep the first four are between you and God. Worship God. Don't worship other things. Don't use the Lord's name in vain. Go to church. Most of us can keep those even personally, like privately. We have control. We have control here. We can talk to God here. We can go to church like we're supposed to. But then the second six of the Ten Commandments, second portion, becomes our relationship with each other. And it gets way more dicey, right? It's okay. I can worship God on Sunday. I can worship God in my private time. But when it comes to our relationship with each other, the commandments start to get a little more dicey. It's a primary command. If you look at the Ten Commandments, God starts the Ten Commandments in Commandment 1 with, "You shall have no other gods before me." Worship God above all else. So the relationship with God part starts with worship and honor God. And then we transition to the second half of the Ten Commandments with honor mom and dad. That doesn't mean worship your mom and dad. That's not what I'm saying. But this word honor has this idea of weight. Give them the weight or the honor or the recognition that they are due. All the kids in the room went, no. Honor your parents. Honor your mother and father. Give them the honor, respect, give the relationship the weight that it was meant to have. You know, history says that Moses was given two tablets. We all assume Ten Commandments means five on one side and five on the other. Maybe. Although it's typical in a covenant situation and in a contract situation for each of you to have a copy. You ever sign a contract and not take a copy of what you signed with you? It's more likely the two tablets was God's copy, our copy. That's a possibility. The other possibility is 1 through 4 on one side, honor God, love each other as yourself on the other side, 6 through 10. We don't really know, but there were two tablets. So, for all of this, all that everybody says about this, it's like family is set up at the beginning of the half about loving each other. Did you catch that? Worship God, second half. It starts with family. For most of us, like some of us are excluded, maybe some of us are excluded from this, I don't know. The family is our first hospital. I got a boo-boo. It's our first school. It's our first source of authority. It's our first church. Mom and dad is where we first learn about all that stuff. They're the first ones to care for us. They're the first ones to teach us something. They're the first ones to teach us what it means to relate to authority. And they're the first ones to teach us about God. So it's no big shocker that God would start love others with the original institution. Genesis 2:24, he says, this is why this man will leave his parents and become one flesh with his spouse. The first thing God does after he makes mankind is he says, you're going to create a family. And he charges Adam and Eve before the fall to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. God ordered the institution of our relationships with each other starting with family first. First school, first church, first authority, first everything. First boo-boo kisser. You know, like whatever. First everything. It starts here. Here's the institution. Here's the thing. And for everybody that says, oh, the Old Testament is archaic and out of date and patriarchal, the commandment is honor mother and father, not honor your father. You catch that? In fact, in the context where Moses takes this command and God establishes people, This is fun even to say. The Code of Hammurabi, which is like the established cultural code, okay? I can even give you a technical name for it. But this code that other nations were formed around said, honor father, and makes no mention of mother. So just by God saying the fifth commandment is honor your mother and father, honor your father. Actually, one place it says father first, and one place it says mother first. Ha-ha. So it's not even a primacy thing. He's already moved human relationships and humankind forward by giving the command in the first place. Do you get that? That it's about parents raising a kid, being fruitful and multiplying, teaching them about God, teaching them in the way that they should go so they shall never depart from it. That's another passage in the Old Testament. God's establishing with the fifth commandment the way society is supposed to work. Why do you think divorce is so painful? Why do you think all the struggles that happen in our families have so much pain and tragedy around them? Why is it so disruptive for the family to fall apart? Because God set it up to work a certain way. And then sin distorts that. Because sin messes up all of our relationships, right? All your dating relationships are seamless and without drama. All of your friendships, no problem, right? By the way, when I had that wreck, my two friends in the car with me just like bailed, like left. Left me with the cops and the parents and the whole nine. They just went to the gas station up the road and like, thanks guys, see you later. Right? There's tension in relationships because of the fall. So you've got this contrast. God's establishing something new. So how do we do this? How do we display honor? How do we keep this commandment? Because, by the way, let's just be honest. We start this world breaking this one. At two, you have no idea you're breaking the commandment, but you're breaking the commandment. No, I want mine. You know, like, we're experts at breaking this commandment. So how do you go about honoring it? In fact, if you ever need proof of the fall, just hang out with a one-year-old. They already know how to mess up and say no. Or two-year-old, no. Their favorite word, go to bed, no. Eat your food, no. They come into the world knowing, I'm going to get you, make your life miserable. Ways to honor it. I'll give you some basics, and then we'll talk about some of the dynamics of this, because frankly, in a perfect world, we could honor mom and dad because they were awesome and loving and always balanced and fair and right and never make mistakes. Anybody raised by those people? You can confess it in front of your parents and score brownie points today. Anybody raised by those people? Of course not. Proverbs 6:20 basically says, respect, listen, pray for, care, and preserve their honor. So how do you honor mom and dad? Listen. And parents went, amen! How do you honor your mom and dad? By listening to them. That's a step. Respect. How do you respect them? Not just listen, but actually do what they ask you to do. I mean, these are obvious, right? That if the parents are the initial structure and they're the initial authority over you, what are you supposed to do to keep the commandment? Obey them. And by the way, this commandment doesn't stop at 18. You ever get the, as long as you live in my house, you're under my rules. You ever get that one? It doesn't stop at 18. They're still your parents. So if you were thinking, hey, at 18, I don't have to listen to you anymore, yeah, but you'll still be breaking the commandment. Because it says honor them. Show them the weight or the honor or the respect that they are due so that your days may be long on the earth. Paul says this is the first commandment about people with a promise. Listen to mom and dad, live longer. Our parents tell us that too. Was it the old line? I brought you into this world, I can take you out. Right? So if we listen to mom and dad, we won't mess up our car on Lakeland Drive. If we listen to mom and dad, we won't climb on the back of the chair and fall off and cut our head wide open. We will live much longer and prosper if we listen to our parents and what they have to say. What about praying for your parents? And by the way, this is not, like I said, this is not just for minors today. This is, if you have a relationship with your parents, do you pray for your parents? Have you ever noticed that when you hit 18, 19, your parents are suddenly smarter? You ever notice that one? Like, I remember all these fights with my dad about who I hang out with and curfew and the way to see things, the way to handle money. Save it. Don't spend it. No. I wish I'd listened. You know, all those fights When I got to be 19, all of a sudden we're having these like adult conversations, and it's like, what happened here? It's weird. I should be praying for them. I should be communicating with them. I should be listening to what they have to say. They are the go-to when life gets a little sideways, right? The consultant, if you will. Should I marry this person or not? Right? Should I buy a 66 Mustang? You know, like, you got to consult with mom and dad. That's a way of showing honor and deference to them because they've just lived longer than you. Right? Garrison's like, man. So parents, by the way, parents make terrific teachers. They make terrible deities. We're not supposed to worship them. That's not what I'm getting at. They're not perfect either. Parents mess it up. Parents aren't consistent, or they don't keep their word, or they forget what they promised you they would do, or they don't listen to you. I know you have all this wisdom at 16. They should listen to you too, right? Like, it doesn't work that way. If mom and dad were perfect, it would be a whole lot easier to obey them. Let's just be real. But honoring them is not contingent on how good a parent they are. You catch that? The command doesn't say honor your father and mother as long as they're perfect, or as long as they're good enough, or any qualifier whatsoever. It just says honor your father and mother so that you'll live a long time. So that you'll survive. We'll get to that in a minute. There's actually more to that phrase than that. But this idea that our parents, we expect our parents to get it right. Why did they mess up their promise to me? Why did they do this? Let's be honest. Parents aren't perfect. Even their relationship with each other, not perfect, right? Sometimes it goes south and it breaks God's heart. It's terrible. It's awful. Some parents are abusive. But there's no qualifier in this commandment about honor. There's no qualifier that says obey them just because they're awesome. It says obey them. They're human and fallen too, and that can create all kinds of pain and all kinds of anguish. We have to talk about that. But what God does is he calls us to bear patiently with their failures too. The same way we want them to bear with us when we screw up. When I messed up the car, do you think I wanted my dad to crush me? You know what I mean? Like, I messed up. I went somewhere I wasn't supposed to go, and because I did, I had a wreck. Hey, Dad, just pay for all the damages. Don't worry about it. Don't ground me. That's what I wanted from Dad, right? Bear with the fact I screwed up. Why should we not return the same respect to them? And be gracious and patient with them when they mess it up. Now, am I saying stay in a situation where it's abusive? Of course not. That's a whole different conversation for a whole different Sunday. The question is, how do I fulfill this commandment regardless of my family situation? The honoring thing to do might be to leave home because it's not safe. That's entirely possible. We can't sidestep that, right? My wife and I were foster parents for 5 years. Our job was to keep kids safe because it was no longer safe at home. Sometimes it's not safe at home. And even the goal of foster care was to honor those parents who weren't safe by helping them figure out how to be safe parents. That was the purpose of foster care. While their kids were gone, the system would come alongside them and provide the resources to create a safe home for the kid to return to. It didn't always work out that way. Some parents just couldn't hold it together. Why? Because none of us are perfect. There's a story in the Bible that addresses this. This is 1 Samuel 19. Give you a little context while I find it, because I forgot to mark it ahead of time. 1 Samuel 19 is David and Jonathan. And David, son of Jesse, tapped by God to be the king of Israel. But at the time, this guy named Saul was the king of Israel. And Jonathan was Saul's son, who stands to be the heir. And Jonathan and David are buds. They're best friends. Jonathan stands to inherit the kingdom. What did I say? 1 Samuel 19. There we go. And so it's in Jonathan's interest that David not inherit the kingdom if he wants to be king someday. But Saul wasn't that great a king. He certainly didn't honor God. And at the time of this context of this story, he's actually trying to kill David. Like I said, he wasn't a good king. He wasn't David's dad, but he was Jonathan's dad. Jonathan, though, finds a way, even in those circumstances, to honor Saul. Saul spoke with his son Jonathan and with all of his servants about killing David. But Saul's son, Jonathan, took great delight in David. Jonathan told David, "My father Saul is trying to kill you. Therefore, be on guard tomorrow morning. Stay in a secret place and hide yourself. I will go out and stand beside my father in the field where you are, and I will speak to my father about you. If I learn anything, I will tell you." Jonathan spoke well of David to his father, Saul, saying to him, "The king should not sin against his servant David, because he has not sinned against you, and because his deeds have been of good service to you. For he took his life in his hand when he attacked the Philistine, Goliath. And the Lord brought about a great victory for all of Israel. You saw it and rejoiced. Why then will you sin against an innocent person by killing David without cause?" Saul heeded the voice of Jonathan. Saul swore, "As the Lord lives, he shall not be put to death." So Jonathan called David and related all of these things to him. Jonathan then brought David to Saul, and he was in his presence as before. So, Saul's not a good dad. He wants to kill his son's best friend. That's not a good dad, by the way. That does not put you in the fatherhood world records. It's not a good plan. But what does Jonathan do? He actually lets David in on the plot. Did he betray his dad? No. I mean, yes, but why? To protect David, right? Keeping David alive trumped honoring Saul and not telling what was going on. But he honored him more by providing counsel to his dad. "Why are you doing this? Why are you upset? David has helped the kingdom of Israel. Why would you kill him?" Jonathan is protecting David as he honors his dad by helping redirect his dad, preserving his dad's honor and weight in the community. So yes, we may have parents that are not perfect. Yes, we may have parents that aren't even Christians. How do you honor a non-Christian parent? I mean, that's the reality, right? Jonathan is in relationship with his dad to the point he can give him some wisdom and counsel and redirect him and prevent him from rebelling against God by killing David at that point. Right? So he provides counsel in return, and in that way he's honoring Saul. The greatest commandment is to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your strength. And the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. If your parents are not perfect, if your home life is a wreck, and your parents aren't even Christians, as a follower of Jesus, the command is still to honor them and to find a way that honors them in that context. That is why that Jesus said, "Following me may cause strife between father and son." That's why following me may cause father to hate son and son to hate father. That's why. Because if they don't have your shared faith system, and Jesus calls you to live a certain way, and mom and dad tell you to live in a way that doesn't honor Jesus, there's tension there. But the first four commandments were honor God first. And to keep the commandment of honoring your father and mother is to figure out how to be a follower of Jesus, even in the most terrible family situations. I wish it wasn't that way. I wish it didn't work that way. I wish it wasn't so painful. I wish it wasn't so hard. But the second half of the verse says, why should you do this? Why should you seek to respect somebody who may not even be respectful to you? It's easier if they are. By the way, Paul says, parents, don't exasperate your kids. Like, Paul elaborates on the commandment, right? We're supposed to honor and respect our parents and obey them, especially when we're living with them. Paul says they're not supposed to lord over and crush you, to exasperate you. So the parents have some responsibility in this, and we are supposed to bear with each other the way we would want to be bared with. Parents, forgive your kids to the level you'd want to be forgiven when you screw up. Does that mean you get the rule to roost? That's not what I'm saying. But just remember, nobody is perfect. That a disobedient kid is not an affront to you, an attack on who you are. Maybe they just want to go to a party instead of going where they said they'd go. Right? They're not personally out to make you mad. That's not their agenda. But he says, the second half of the verse says, so that you may live long and prosper. Yes, I'm a sci-fi nerd, so I thought I'd throw that up there. Failure to honor your parents opens your whole world up to a whole other set of potential consequences, like wrecking your Mustang. That's a small example, right? Mom and dad know better while they know better, when they know better. They don't tell you not to run across the back of the couch or jump from bed to bed for just because they want to make your life miserable and boring. They're trying to protect your skull. I am speaking from experience. I don't know how old I was, 7 or 8. My brother and I had twin beds in a bedroom, and we decided one Saturday morning it'd be really cool to see if we could jump from one to the other. We did this a couple of times. Although we were being really, like, I don't know how you put it, athletic about it. We weren't just jumping from mattress to mattress. That's kind of easy, big target. We were jumping from bed rail along the mattress to bed rail along the mattress. Like trying to jump onto a piece of wood about that wide and then grab the mattress or whatever. Like we were young. On one of my jumps, I made it, but I didn't keep my balance. I fell backwards and caught my head about right here on the nightstand. Corner. The nightstand in between the two beds. And I was like, man, that really hurt. I mean, I remember doing it like this. That really hurt. I pulled my hand back and it was red with blood. I went, ah! You know, I had a big gash, had stitches, had the whole nine. Don't jump on the beds. But it's fun. The second half of the verse says, honor your father and mother so that it may be, you may live long and prosper, that it may go well with you in the land that God's carried you to. And yes, it does mean if you obey your parents, you will live longer because these crazy things won't happen to you. But it also means this. That's another way of saying living in the fullness of God's blessing. It's not just physical length. God says, honor your father and mother so that you may live in the fullness of the blessings I have for you. So it's not just length of life. It's a promise of fullness of life because of this family relationship with you only have with you for so long. Some of us have lost our parents. Our parents have passed away and gone on, and we can't call them on Father's Day or Mother's Day. And we miss them. But that's, we miss them because of the richness that was there, because of the relationship that was there in the first place. So just like the rest of God's law, the fifth commandment is impossible for us to keep. We're supposed to do it. We're supposed to try. We're supposed to try. And when we fail, we apologize to them. They apologize to us. But we also confess that sin to God. And when we confess our sins to God, what is God faithful to do? Forgive us. Because what he's interested in is the direction of our life, not our perfection. My youth pastor told me that, and it sticks in my head still. God is not interested in our perfection, only our direction. He knows we're going to screw it up. But are we trying to not screw it up? Are we being contentious with our parents on purpose? Are we disobeying them on purpose just because we know it makes them mad? Are we rebelling against them because we just don't respect and honor them? All of those are violating the covenant, which means the opposite is keeping it. It's one of the positive commandments, right? Honor your father and mother. He could have written it as don't disobey your parents, but that's not the way the commandment is written. It is given, give the relationship the weight that they are worthy of. Honor them. So I'm going to ask you some questions about, you don't have to answer these out loud, this is not true confessions. But let's evaluate in our heart of hearts, are we keeping this command, which does not cease when we are grown? So even those of us that are grown and have parents or have kids, this is for us too. Do you ever talk back to your parents? Do you ever hide anything from them? Do you ever silently curse their existence? Do you speak well of them when you talk to other people? That's a way of showing honor, by the way. Are you taking the time to strengthen your relationship with them? Are you giving them the care they need and the honor they deserve? We all fail this sometimes. But God gave us the family to bestow a blessing upon us. The question is whether we will fulfill this commandment and live into that blessing. Let's pray. God, we confess that this commandment is about us and other people. And so by default, that makes it hard. God, we thank you for giving us the parents you gave us. For some of us, that's harder to say than others. But we acknowledge you as our Heavenly Father in those circumstances. That you, above all else, are the only one who is truly worthy of being worshiped and praised. But empower our family relationships. Protect the institution of family itself so that our days may be long in the earth. In Christ's name, amen.